Maybe I have to start again because it's been broadcast. I'll start again. Okay, sorry. It seems that the microphone wasn't on. So I'll start from the beginning since it was just a short section into the class. So text 39, it makes an interesting connection with what had just transpired. So it refers to two activities that Lord Krishna had performed. So there's the word api that's used in this word, which is translated as moreover. So it's indicating that actually there's two actions that Lord Krishna had performed. So one action that he performed was that he used his power and had the Brahmana lady give up her material body, and then he met her in her spiritual body and allowed her to experience this unlimited transcendental pleasure with her transcendental senses. And then there was a second activity, so this word api indicating moreover, he did a second thing. So simultaneously, Krishna's doing these two actions. The second activity that he did, and the word Prabhu is here indicating he's almighty because, you know, he's able to do these two activities simultaneously. The second activity he performed was that he caused all the cowherd boys to experience this feeling of fullness in their bellies. And he's doing this because actually the foodstuff that was there that the Brahmana ladies had brought wasn't actually adequate to feed all the cowherd boys. And these two actions performed by Lord Krishna, they actually highlight two aspects of his personality. So there's the term that's used, Dhira Prashanta, and certain characteristics of Lord Krishna's personality are grouped under this term, Dhira Prashanta. And the particular characteristic that's been highlighted here is that Krishna is extremely considerate of the feelings of others. And of course, going along with Dhira Prashanta is the characteristic of being peaceful and forbearing. But in terms of being very considerate towards the feelings of others, and this is drawing from Nectar of Devotion, where this term Dhira Prashanta is used in relation to Lord Krishna's personality. Here, there's the particular characteristic of showing consideration for the feelings of others has really been highlighted, because the interesting thing is that Krishna performs these two simultaneous activities, and he himself, he doesn't have a desire to eat. This is according to Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur. But in order to be very kind and considerate towards the cowherd boys, he actually does eat. And there's a reason given for why Krishna actually doesn't have this desire to eat. And that is that he was feeling very morose. He was feeling morose at having made the Brahmana wives break their vow. And this is a reason given by Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So those ladies had basically wanted to abandon their husbands. And Krishna was a little concerned. We know that he sent them back to the fire sacrifice or the sacrificial arena where their husbands were performing a sacrifice for elevation to the heavenly planet so that they could continue to assist their husbands in the sacrifice. And Krishna was feeling a bit morose that he'd caused them to break their vows. And this is again a reason given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So there's this factor that Krishna's, one aspect of Krishna's personality has been highlighted, and that is his great consideration towards the feelings of others. And also highlighted is Lord Krishna's very peaceful nature. Like early on, right in the beginning of this chapter, the cowherd boys made a statement to Lord Krishna. They said, O Krishna, O chastiser of the wicked, we are being harassed by hunger, and you should do something about it. And their logic had been like this. The Vedas say that hunger is one's greatest enemy, and or worst enemy. So if you can destroy our hunger, then that means that you'll be successful in conquering this enemy. They take the enemy as an internal enemy, you know, that demand of the body. So, and indeed, Krishna makes an arrangement for them to eat in response. So within the context of that intimate loving relationship, he makes an arrangement that has them first going through the obstacle of the brahmanas, but coming to the brahmanas' wives, and then that foodstuff is provided, them making various preparation. So Krishna makes that arrangement for them to have something to eat. And then right now in this particular verse, we're hearing that actually the foodstuff was inadequate, so the arrangement Krishna makes is actually allowing them to all feel full, even with the inadequate foodstuff. Now, by Srila Sukadev Goswami, who's narrating here in Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear that Krishna was desiring to please certain of his devotees. And the Brahmana wives, we understand they said this, or rather he was desiring to please the wives of the Brahmanas, and so he had told the cowherd boys, please go to the sacrificial arena where a group of Brahmanas learned in the Vedas are performing the Agni Rasa sacrifice to gain promotion to heaven. When you go there, my dear cowherd boys, simply request some food, declare to them the name of my elder brother, the Supreme Lord Balaram, and also my name, and explain that you have been sent by us. So, in fact, you can say that Lord Krishna had spoken in order to give mercy to the wives of the Brahmanas. So, not only was he going to satiate the desire that was there on the part of the cowherd boys to have their hunger be attended to, but he was also going to be very merciful to the wives of the Brahmanas. They got an opportunity to directly serve him and the cowherd boys. So this is all to highlight this particular characteristic of Lord Krishna's personality, that he's very considerate towards the feelings of others. then, of course, there's the fact that Krishna is the source of all pleasure. And this is corroborated by the fact, it's a very subtle understanding, but he actually describes himself that he creates the various transcendental qualities that humans or living beings come to possess, but they're created by him, and it's only he who can create those transcendental qualities. So it's a very subtle understanding, which indicates that he's the source of pleasure because the... it's all right. I accept. Thank you. you can just put it on the table. thank you very much. You can put it there. Thank you, and then I'll help myself too. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, so the qualities that Krishna creates in, or the transcendental qualities that indicates, because transcendental qualities are a source of pleasure, because he's the one creating those transcendental qualities, it's understood that he as the source of pleasure is giving pleasure to the persons possessing those qualities. So he's defined, or some of those qualities that are created by him are tolerance and forgiveness. And the definition for these two particular transcendental qualities is that one is able to excuse the minor offenses of others. And that ability, you know, gives one pleasure because it's generally on a mundane level, it's very difficult to forgive somebody with bad behavior. One may even carry it in one's mind for a long time. But with the particular transcendental quality of tolerance and forgiveness that Krishna creates or bestows on someone, one easily can excuse the minor offenses of others. So this is a source of pleasure. I mean, that one is able to do that. It gives one pleasure. But Krishna is the one who is the source of that pleasure. So now the cowherd boys are described as having returned to Krishna and Balaram, being very disappointed. And they reported that the brahmanas had even failed to reply to them with even a simple verbal, a yes or no. So in actual fact, they were ignored. So that came from the 12th verse in this chapter. So that's an offense on the part of someone. But the fact is, we can see that they've got the transcendental quality of being very tolerant. Because even though they were factually ignored by the brahmanas, they very calmly just went to Krishna to make the report. And those brahmanas, in fact, really were making offense because this is what they were thinking. How can we give to the cowherd boys before we have eaten? So that's kind of an offense to the cowherd boys. I mean, they're intimate associates of Krishna. So Krishna is the source of pleasure in that he is also seen as creating the quality of truthfulness. So truthfulness is defined as presenting facts as they are for the benefit of others. That's truthfulness. And Krishna creates that transcendental quality in persons. Because otherwise, what on the mundane level happens is that persons may consider what the circumstances are, so they may say only the things that people want to hear, as opposed to stating the truth. And so it's a transcendental quality, that ability to be able to state things factually as they are, and particularly for the benefit of others. I mean, of course, one can state the truth and cause harm, but the transcendental quality is that when one is stating the truth, it's for the benefit of someone. So it's a source of pleasure to be able to do that on the part of a living entity who has been had bestowed upon them that transcendental quality of truthfulness by Krishna. And for Krishna, it's a source of pleasure too. So now, Srila Prabhupada, he's writing that the wives of the brahmanas display this quality of truthfulness. From Krishna book, this is how Srila Prabhupada puts it. So he's describing them talking. Our husbands, fathers, sons and brothers, other relatives and friends will no longer take us back. And how could anyone else be willing to give us shelter? Therefore, since we have thrown ourselves at your lotus feet and have no other destination, please O chastiser of enemies, grant our desires. So they're stating the truth. They've cast aside their husbands. They've thrown themselves at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Give us shelter. So this is a quality of truthfulness that is a transcendental quality, and it's bestowed by Krishna. It's a source of pleasure for the persons who are able to speak so openly. So for the brahmanas' wives, it's like that. It's for their benefit. I mean, one could say maybe that's a selfish thing, but it's in relation to Lord Krishna, so it's for their benefit. And it's also actually thinking that it's the correct thing on the part of Lord Krishna to do, because after all, he's the giver of shelter. So if they're saying, you know, we've thrown ourselves at your lotus feet, he's obliged to give them shelter. So this is just to illustrate this quality of truthfulness that's there. Again, created by Lord Krishna. Now, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he comments, and this is the second verse for today, the text 37. So this was the English translation. Thus the Supreme Lord, appearing like a human being to perform his pastimes, imitated the ways of human society. He enjoyed pleasing his cows, cowherd boyfriends, and cowherd girlfriends with his beauty, words, and actions. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that Krishna, enjoying himself with the cows, cowherd boys, and cowherd girls, the gopis, he actually overwhelmed them with this transcendental bliss and happiness. Just by virtue of his beautiful form, his beautiful words, his beautiful actions. So I've tried a little bit to break down something of his functioning and his particular personality that goes behind his actions and that is part of his beautiful form and his beautiful words. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur emphasizes the word Gopinam, which appears in this 37th text. And this refers to the young gopis rather than the elderly ones who had more maternal affection towards Lord Krishna. Now, this moment in time with this description, with Krishna having performed these two activities of both fulfilling the desire or satiating the desire, taking into account the feelings of the Brahmana lady, allowing her to experience that transcendental pleasure in relation to him, having filled the bellies of the cowherd boys, even though there was inadequate food, even himself eating when he didn't really desire to eat, showing this great consideration towards the feelings of others. At this moment of time, the fact that we're hearing that Krishna was enjoying himself, pleasing the young gopis. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it's very interesting because there's a thought that Krishna only enjoyed with those very young gopis at the time of the rasa dance. But the fact that we're hearing here at this moment in time that, you know, he's enjoying himself with his cowherd boys, he's enjoying himself with his cows and with the young gopis, means that there's lots of interaction he has with the young cowherd girlfriends. So it was prior to the rasa dance. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he refutes this opinion that Krishna only enjoyed with these young gopi girls at the time of the rasa dance. So it's an ongoing reciprocal awareness of their feelings and his fulfilling and satiating them as he did with the cowherd boys and with the Brahmana lady. And in fact, in the long Ananda Vrindavan Champu, where Srila Kavi Kanapur gives, you know, very elaborate description of things, he writes that it's Krishna's nature to reciprocate with his devotees according to their moods of love. So I guess I'm highlighting a lot in these two verses that one's getting a lot of insight into Krishna's personality. And He says, so this is Srila Kavikandapura, and I'm quoting, "Krishna, who is expert and soft-hearted, fulfilled the desires of the lady who gave up her body by submerging her in an unlimited river of love. He gave her the association of his dearest gopis who always enjoy ecstatic pastimes with him." And in fact, this is interesting. It's not written here, so I'm drawing from Srila Kavikandapura. That lady who gave up her body and Krishna's soft-heartedness being seen in his kindness towards this lady, he actually gave her the association of the gopis, these young cowherd girls. And what transpired there, Srila Kavikandapurna explains, is that the gopis actually embraced this Brahmana lady and asked her about her welfare. And in fact, they taught her the art of pleasing Krishna. So there's a whole art. So I've just highlighted something of the particular transcendental qualities that get displayed in dealings with Krishna, like the truthfulness of the Brahmana ladies, the truthfulness of the cowherd boys. But all the qualities and the way in which they manifest, there's an art to it, and these gopis actually taught it to this Brahmana lady who gave up her body, which was, of course, Krishna's great consideration towards her by using his power to allow her to do that, having understood the intensity of her emotion. So here's reading from Srila Kavi. No, this is from Ananda Vrindavan Champu, the description of this particular lady. Radiant with pure love, she quickly attained the qualification to associate intimately with Krishna. Krishna was happy to see this. So Krishna gets great happiness. This is part of his extraordinary personality. Great happiness to see somebody actually advance in their understanding of him, advance in their understanding of how to actually have exchanges with him. So this understanding of Krishna as one who enjoys pleasing his devotees is explained by Lord Krishna himself. And this is from Bhagavad Gita 11:54. So Bhagavad Gita, you know, because it's a very, the nature of the relationship with Arjuna is a friendship. It's got a very different flavor to what we hear here, how he deals with the even the Brahmana ladies or the gopis. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, and this is to highlight this point that he himself says that he likes to please his devotees. So Krishna says, "My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding." So he gives the method which allows one to be in his presence and to have insight into his personality. I mean, I've been drawing from Srila Rupa Goswami and our various acharyas to highlight something of his personality. But here's Krishna, that particular verse reads, "Bhaktya tvan anyaya sakya aham evam vidhor juna nyatam drashtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parantapa." So, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you and can thus be seen directly. So, you know, looking at persons who are sadhakas, how is it that we actually come to learn about Krishna's personality? It's actually becoming an experienced student of Vedic literature. That's what Srila Prabhupada says. So studying the Vedic literature, becoming experienced in studying the Vedic literature, one can come to understand Krishna. Because Studying the Vedic literature is performing devotional service. And it's necessary also, this is Srila Prabhupada, because he gives what are the means to understand Krishna, or learn about Krishna, it's necessary to follow the regulative principles. And because it's not possible otherwise. And one can also undergo some particular penance in accord with those principles. So, you know, 2 days ago or so, we were observing Ekadasi. And, or, you know, one can observe fasting on a particular day, such as Janmashtami. So all of these allow one to come to learn about Krishna. One comes to have become more experienced in studying the Vedic literature, just resting on this particular requirement of needing to follow the regulative principles. It allows for that entrance into the Vedic literature and hence being able to learn about Krishna and understand something of his personality. So actually Krishna comes to be seen as such, because he says, you know, come to see me directly. He comes to be seen by revelation, provided one has that continuous, unflinching, like nothing disturbs one's devotion to him. And of course, having that, you know, the devotion doesn't move, one can also be directed by the spiritual master. And this is the process for understanding Krishna. So that all those components have to be there. I mean, we're hearing these very intimate dealings, and we're getting some insight into the personalities through the acharyas. And in our particular case, you know, this following of regulative principles, becoming experienced in reading the Vedic literature, and just maintaining this unflinching devotion is everything that allows for this insight into his personality. And we hear from Srila Kavi Kanapura with these two verses how Krishna is actually seen. So I'm going to quote. Meanwhile, Krishna, Balaram, and their cowherd boyfriend sat down to relish the feast offered by the Brahmana wives. Krishna always enjoys eating food that is nicely prepared and artistically displayed. The delicious foodstuffs were prepared purely by the Yajnapatis and flavored with the nectar of their deep love for Krishna. So, so Srila Kavi Kanapura is understanding something of Krishna through the pastime. He understands that Krishna likes the foodstuff to be beautifully prepared and very artistically displayed. So it's not, you know, he just eats. It's very artistically displayed foodstuff prepared by the Brahmana wives. of course, in that preparation, they poured in something of their deep love for Lord Krishna. So it's said that the foodstuff was flavored by their deep love for Lord Krishna. So so this gives some understanding of Krishna's personality, you know, his particular liking, what he's liking. So according to Srila Vishwanath, Krishna did not directly enjoy with the wives of the Brahmanas. This is a very important point. But he did enjoy with the gopis, the wives of the cowherd men. So these pastimes that we're hearing here, sort of culminating, they didn't culminate in direct enjoyment with the wives of the Brahmanas. The reason being, and yes, it was mentioned in class, Krishna's potency for pastime, his Leela Shakti, it took dominance. Over any other potency of Krishna's, such as the potency for him to fulfill his desire. that wasn't the predominating potency, spiritual potency at that moment or this moment. Rather, it's the potency of having pastimes. He's looking how to please his devotees. So hence his soft-heartedness, hence his astute understanding of the feelings, his consideration towards the feelings of his devotees. So by his lila shakti, or his a spiritual potency of pastime, meaning, you know, you can see what's needed, he exhibited his these transcendental pastimes in the guise of an ordinary human being. But I mean, we're hearing how complex, because it's all to do with transcendental emotions on the part of his devotees and the interplay between Krishna and his devotees with those transcendental emotions going on. And the reason Krishna did this all in the guise of a human being is to attract common people to Krishna consciousness. And that's what Srila Prabhupada states in Krishna book regarding this particular section of the pastimes. So that's how much I was able to highlight from these two particular verses. If there's any thought on this matter...
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for your class. You have made many wonderful points, but the point that stood out the most to me is that you were mentioning Krishna as the source of pleasure. And the one thing that came to mind when you mentioned is that we see also in the material world where Prabhupada says we're all a part and parcel of Krishna, we try to imitate Krishna. So what does that mean? That means everyone throughout the material world thinks they're the source of pleasure. Like a beauty contest, the Maha Luj, everyone thinks I'm the source of everyone, I'm going to win the competitions. So we see there's a positive side and negative side. From the positive side, we see in the scriptures, those who are proud think they're either the source of pleasure, and from the negative side, they think I'm not the source of displeasure. One analogy I usually like to share with others is that when we live in a house with roommates or among our spouses or anyone in a group situation, we see that it's not a very good example before prasadam, but it gets a point done when someone uses the bathroom and then you go in right after them. You cannot tolerate the the stench. But the funny part is that when we ourselves use the bathroom, we don't smell anything. So the lesson I got from it is that we could tolerate the faults that come out of us, but we cannot tolerate the faults that come out of others. We think I'm not the source of displeasure. And on the positive side, we see that, you know, there's so many examples in the scriptures where people think I'm the source of pleasure. When I'm speaking, everyone must be inspired by me. And then when we hear others speak, oh, they're the source of my misery. They're so boring. They're so displeasure. And so I'll kind of connect it to one pastime I love of Lord Chaitanya, where Lord Chaitanya, he was listening. He sat there and listened to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for 7 days straight, a Mayavadi. And Prabhupada says in the introduction to the Gita, we should not listen to Mayavadi philosophy. And on the other hand, we see in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Lila, chapter 21, it describes that Srivas Thakur entered the Bhagavatam of a proud renunciant named Devananda Pandit. And Srivas Thakur, when he heard the Bhagavatam, he was exhibiting symptoms of love of God. He was crying, he was sighing, he was, wailing, etc. And Devananda's students, and so did Devananda, they considered this a nuisance. He's interrupting my Bhagavatam class, my poetic recitation of God's love. And to show his love for God, he literally threw Srivas Thakura outside the Bhagavatam class. So from contrast, we could see that although Lord Chaitanya was at the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong person, but because he had the right mentality, humility, and patience, he was able to compel others towards the Bhagavatam. Devananda Pandit, he was at the right place, at the right time, with the right person, but because he had the wrong mentality, pride and impatience, he was able to repel others from the Bhagavatam. He literally threw Srivasa Kaur outside the Bhagavatam. And so, I don't really have a question, but the last point I'd like to make is that this is one instruction that Chaitanya Charitamrita gives, and one instruction that Prabhupada elaborates on in purport. This is from the, luckily I have my notes from several days ago, but this verse is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 25, verse 267. So I really love this purport. It kind of goes along with the points I was mentioning. So the verse says that Lord Chaitanya, he would not only speak, the Bhagavatam, however, he will also listen to those and empower those to encourage them to also speak Bhagavatam, because if you're just speaking Bhagavatam, you actually don't know whether your students or those you consider your students are actually hearing the Bhagavatam unless they had to speak it. So he was so Prabhupada in his purport, he said it is the duty of an acharya to not only speak the Bhagavatam, but it's his duty to also listen to others speak the Bhagavatam, to see either whether they're listening, because we could see that there could be so many people in Bhagavatam physically, but how many people are in Bhagavatam mentally? Probably zero. Why? Because everyone thinks they're the source of pleasure and nobody else is a source of pleasure. So if I had to ask a question, what are some steps we could take to not only be attentive when we're speaking, but also to be attentive while others speaking? Because I know there's a saying, treat people the way you want to be treated. And that's one lesson I love about my brother, is that when he went to Manga Artsy, he did all the programs. I can't compare myself to my brother because I don't live in a temple, but the reason he inspired me so much is that he also went to Manga Artsy. He also went to Bhagavatam. He was doing all the programs when there was flourishing and when there wasn't so many people, but he was so attentive naturally when he was speaking. But one thing that annoyed me about him, actually, is that he was so attentive when others were speaking. He would stand the Bhagavatam. That's because I didn't have a taste for Bhagavatam. I was like, how can he derive any taste from this Bhagavatam class? I was committing aparas amongst other devotees. Their class is so boring. How is he? Why is he extending the class? And that was my first question to Chandramali Swami when I was new. Chandramali asked me, are there any questions? I says, when is prasadam ready? That was my first question to Chandramali Swami. So, and that's why I had no taste for Bhagavatam. So what are some steps we could do to treat people the way we want to be treated? But not only be intensive when we're speaking, but also attentive when we're others are speaking. So,
yeah,
thank you.
It's an interesting point you're making, that it's not that easy, actually, to make space in one's being for allowing the words of somebody else to literally enter one's ears. It's not that easy. the difficulty lies a lot with the fact that one hasn't always received transcendental qualities, because Krishna gives those transcendental qualities, and the transcendental quality of patience or the transcendental quality of being tolerant, it's something that is created by Krishna. He says himself, he creates it. It's a transcendental quality. So it's not actually a mundane thing that, okay, let me just put up with this, you know, or let me just block myself off from what this person's saying because really I prefer my own thoughts, you know. It's rather, it's, I guess like continuously trying to, you know, hear what somebody else is saying, you know, sympathetically and, you know, showing consideration. Then Krishna's kind enough that he bestows, a transcendental quality of being tolerant. So even if somebody is a little obnoxious even, one finds it very easy to hear and not be bothered by it. Or, yeah, I mean, you weren't specifically highlighting somebody being obnoxious, although he did give an example through from Chaitanya Charitamrita of somebody being obnoxious. So that obnoxious aspect of throwing a very dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya's out of a Bhagavatam class is, again, somebody not having, well, I guess, cultivated devotion to Lord Krishna and therefore not having received the transcendental quality from Krishna of being tolerant. So even if you don't understand, at least, you know, being able to tolerate. So it's a transcendental quality. One has to have it bestowed by Lord Krishna, and Krishna says only he himself creates that quality. So you can't imagine being tolerant or trying to be tolerant, just one is. It's natural when the quality is there. So Krishna bestows that quality. And so the means for obtaining that quality just has to do with those things that I guess I highlighted that Srila Prabhupada puts as being necessary to have these transcendental qualities be bestowed upon one is, you know, truly trying to be a student of Vedic literature. So even if one's maybe not so enthusiastic of somebody's class, you know, one understands, well, this is, you know, the subject matter is the Vedic literature. So I'm a student of Vedic literature. I'm going to keep studying it. And if I have to hear it through this person, that person, that person, that person, that's fine. I keep studying it because that's part of, and maintain my devotion to Lord Krishna. That's going to be part of, that's going to allow me to connect with Krishna and have him bestow wonderful transcendental qualities, particularly the one of tolerance. So thank you very much, Jai Baladev, for your feedback and even kindly posing a question. So,
one last, let's say a nice, interesting fact from the Bhagavatam. Thank you for your answer, by the way. But just one funny and interesting fact from the Bhagavatam is that, I can't quote the verse, but the pastime, you can read through that, anyone can read through this pastime, Lord Rishabhadev, it's described that when he became a homeless wanderer, he passed stool. And not only was his stool a source of, his stool wasn't, it wasn't even a source of displeasure for anyone, but it was also a source of pleasure. It's described that his stool smelled like fragrant flowers, something like that. And that's a funny point I thought. And the one realization I got is that until our stool smells like fragrant flowers, then we shouldn't find fault with others. And if our stool smells like fragrant flowers, that means we're Shakti Avesha Avatar. And therefore we could criticize others and fault find with others because we're free from the most of material nature. But until then, be humble, don't find any fault with anyone. And that's why Lord Buddha, he says a nice quote. He says, not the perversities of others, not their sins of commission or omission, but his own misdeeds and negligences should a sage take notice of. And so anyway, thanks for letting me share that interesting fact from the Bhagavatam. Would you like to share? It sounds like you'd like to share. Please go ahead.
I mean, it's not that one is waiting for an opportunity to be able to exercise one's criticism of someone, you know, because one has attained a higher spiritual state. It's rather that one stays very firmly with the, you know, the process of studying the Vedic literature, and that in itself will lead to Krishna's kindness upon one. So even though it may seem like a natural thing or something that one thinks, oh, in the future I'll be able to exercise this when I'm in a more advanced state of, you know, running down somebody. Actually, one never wants to exercise that, whether it's, you know, in a simple state where one is, you know, endeavoring in one's devotional life, or in a more advanced state where devotional life is more settled. In either case, one wouldn't really want to run down anybody. It's just waiting for the good qualities to be bestowed by Krishna, and then it's natural. Now it seems so unnatural. It seems like that reality has to exist always, now and in the future, of, you know, being critical. But actually that reality can fall away just with Krishna bestowing his, you know, transcendental qualities upon one. So thanks, Jai Baladev. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.